Come on, if it's appropriate, can you grab the hand of the person next to you and let's just pray together in one mind and one accord. Come on, something happens when the church begins to unify. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I come against every divisive spirit. I come against every spirit that would try to divide and separate your body, your people. I rebuke it now. I command it to go. I speak the liberty of the Holy Ghost, the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace in your love right now. That's it. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray for your pastor, right? Presence. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. I told the Lord, if there's one thing that I could have all the days of my life, it's your presence. God, I just want your presence. I don't want fame. I don't want fortune. I don't even want riches. Lord, as long as I have your presence, I know that I have everything. Come on, somebody. We came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. With the presence of the Lord. Come on, His presence is here right now. We ought to cultivate it. We ought to activate it. We ought to walk in it. I feel it so strong here at this church. And because this is a praying church. And I remember the last time we came here, it was on a Saturday. We came into one of the prayer meetings, and it was powerful. You could feel the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that the church was birthed out of prayer? It's all about prayer. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And I know this is a praying church, and you can feel that presence of the Lord cultivated through people that call upon His name. I'm so thankful for that. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to come here. And I love that my children and my beautiful wife, they're with me. They get to experience the presence of the Lord. We're doing this together. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm so thankful for my beautiful wife. And I think the last time we were here, we just had Azalea. And I believe Oakland was in the oven at the time. So, but our baby boy, Oakland, he is here. Glory to God. And so we're so thankful. I've told this testimony so many times, but the doctors told us we weren't going to be able to have kids. But come on, somebody, whose report are you going to believe? Come on, I don't care what the doctor says. You've got to stand on the word of the Lord. And I love my wife. She really is the rock and the strength. You can return to your seat. Just remain standing with me quickly. We're going to go to Acts chapter number 3. And I love my wife. I'm so thankful for her. And just seeing her in motherhood has just, I've grown even more in love with her. And I'm thankful for her and who she is as a woman of God. Amen. I give her honor. And we're flowing and learning. We got 2 under 2, so keep us in prayer. So, but we love it, and we're so thankful. And I love, love, love your pastor and your pastor's wife. Aren't you thankful for your leadership here, Pastor Clutter, Sister Clutter, the whole family, Chloe and Aiden and Spencer. We are so thankful to just be connected. Now Nam is going to be in the family. Glory to God. And we're so excited, so thankful for what the Lord is doing here. You have genuine leadership here that really loves God and loves people. This church is so similar. There's so many similarities from the church that I came up in. And I've told my testimony before. I didn't grow up in the church, but I got connected to a church. Literally, it's a steel building right in Northeast Ohio, the village of Minerva, 3,000 people. And we have seen God do some miraculous things in the last, started with four people, and we built a new building, and it's been incredible to see the revival and harvest. I'm going to tell you, and it, when I look and see this, you can see this at Minerva. It's a very similar, there's so many similarities, but I see youth and I see young adults that are up here worshiping. And this last day, revival and harvest, it's going to be multi-generational. We need the elders and the youngers. Come on, we've got to get behind what God's doing in this next generation. This is a sign that the church is going forward, it's going stronger, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. I don't care who talks against it. I don't care who tries to divide it. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against Turning Point Church. Come on, somebody. Receive it in the Holy Ghost. It's not going to happen. And we give all of you honor. It was so good to be here. It's always good to be with you all. And we always feel like just the way you treat us is with love. And we just love being here. Acts chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1. Acts chapter number 3, beginning with, I feel the presence of God in this place. That's a prayer that I pray often. God, as long as my family has your presence, my wife, my son, my daughter, I just want them to have your presence. Acts chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1. The Lord has really put a word in my spirit for this church, and I believe it's now. And I remember the last time that we were here, the Lord gave me a word. I believe he showed me a vision. I saw a river flowing out of this church, and it was parting multiple directions. Because this church is going to expand, and it's going to take territory regionally. Regionally. It's going to happen. And you all are going to be a part of it. That submit to the leadership, that get on board and get connected, God's going to do great things. Acts chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up, everybody say together, to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb whom they laid at the daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him, John and Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, he lifted him, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he who sat at alms at the beautiful gate at the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed, watch this, he held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. And this just tells the context of how many people came to the Lord because of this one miracle. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. This verse of scripture continues, this passage, this story continues to be in my spirit for this church. 5,000 out of that one miracle. I just feel to talk to you this morning, preach, teach, forward together. Forward together. I believe this church is going forward. I believe we're going to forget the things which are behind. We're going to reach forward towards the things which lie ahead. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands? And would you just begin to call upon the name of the Lord right now with faith and expectation? I feel it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands and give the Lord a praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Forward together. Music team, you guys did an amazing job. Thank you so much. You're blessed to have anointed singers and musicians here and to see this next generation being used of God the way that God is using them. Psalms 133, 1 and 3, the Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion." Watch this. "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of the Lord to be commanded in my life. That's why the Bible says that when God looks down on the earth and when he sees a church that is unified, when he sees a people that are unified, he says, "I cannot help myself. I have to command a blessing." This is why we've got to fight for unity, because the enemy is trying to block and stop the blessing that the Lord is trying to bring to the church. Come on, if you get that in your spirit, you will fight for unity. You will fight for agreement. You will fight to be together. Pastor, what are you preaching? I agree according to the word of the Lord. Come on, we got to get on board. We got to get behind. We got to get in alignment, because God's wanting to command a blessing. And it's bigger what you can imagine with this building. This is why we've got to fight for unity. Fight for agreement. Fight for togetherness. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. Channel that frustration towards the enemy and his tactics, not towards your pastor or your brother or your sister. Come on, somebody. The person sitting next to you is not your enemy. We have an adversary. And come on, the devil is a liar. We are together as one, as the body of Christ. Come on, you ought to receive it. The enemy fights us so hard to agree. I remember we were on our way to Minnesota, and We were at a hotel, and I went outside and I was reading Psalms 133. The Lord just had that scripture in my spirit. And as I'm reading, sis, can you put that picture up on the screen? I looked up and of the birds. Yes. And I've never seen these before. Many of you probably have seen these. And I'm reading Psalms 133 and I look up and I just see these sandhill cranes start walking probably about 40 yards right in front of me. They just start walking out of the fields. And I'm like, wow. And I'm just having a moment with the Lord. And the Lord begins to speak to me. And he begins to say, "What do you see? What do you see?" How many of you know the Bible says that nature can teach us? Doth not nature teach us? That's why Jesus talks about planting and sowing. Come on, reaping. He talks about the law of the harvest. He talks about considering the ant. He talks about looking to nature, because God can speak through his creation. There are principles that we can learn in the spirit when we tap into what the spirit is trying to say to the church. And so these are sandhill cranes. And when you look at them, I begin to study them out, that they will travel in groups. It's very rare to see them ever travel alone. And when they lift up their voice, they begin to lift up a call in harmony together. And this voice that they can harmonize together, it carries for miles. And what it does is it announces unity. It announces strength, and they announce togetherness. And they begin to lift up their voice because their voice begins to carry and it lets the enemy know, hey, we are together as one. Just as the crane joined their voices as one, God calls his people to walk together. Everybody say, in unity. Together as one in him. That's why during long migrations, traveling in flocks, you will see geese begin to navigate. You've seen them fly in that V-type formation. Geese flying in the V formation is one of nature's most amazing works of teamwork. What are they doing? They do it for several reasons. They do it for energy efficiency. When the lead goose flaps its wings, it creates an upward air current that helps the birds behind it begin to get strength to go forward in the journey. Each goose in the V flies slightly above the wingtips of the one that's in front, catching the lift. Watch this. This reduces wind resistance so that the flock can fly 71% further than if each goose would fly alone. They can fly so much further together than if they try to do it alone. You see them doing that. And if they do not fly in the organized order ordained by the Creator, they're not going to excel in the trajectory of the fullness of where they are supposed to go. We've got to hear it in the spirit that if we're going to go forward together, we've got to be unified as one mind, one body, one heartbeat. Come on. We can go further together. Come on. When you try to do it on your own, it's a trap of the enemy. We need the body of Christ. Come on. We need our pastor. We need our brothers. We need our sisters. It is a trap to think that you can make it on your own. We need one another. We need one another. That's the unity. That's why Ephesians 4, 3 and 4 says to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Just like no single crane can make the full duet, no believer alone reflects Christ's full body. Each member has a part. We're one body, one spirit, but together we can make one sound. We all have different functions and parts, but we've got to understand that if we're going to function in the role that God has us to function in, then I've got to be connected to something that is bigger than myself. Come on, my arm can't operate if it's disconnected. My leg can't operate if it's disconnected. Come on, I know you got some giftings, but are you connected? Because that's going to determine how far you're going to go in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. You ought to thank God that you have a pastor and a pastor's wife that calls prayer. You can start cultivating yourself in those prayer meetings and connecting yourself with the body. You will begin to see God do great things in your life, not just individually, but collectively as the body. Ephesians 4, 4 and 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I feel like I just need to declare it to the atmosphere. Devil, we are together as one. Together as one. We are fighting for unity. I'm telling you, the enemy's afraid of this church. And he's going to try to fight this church with disunity. The Lord started speaking to me in prayer and started revealing to me that the trajectory of this church is going to be dependent upon those that are willing to fight for unity. Turning point, you are at a tipping point. I feel it. I leaned over to Kayla. I said, I feel like the church is at a tipping point. You are at a tipping point. God is wanting this church to take dominion, to take territory, to continue to expand. But right before it happens, the enemy's going to try to do all that he can to confuse, to lie, to bring fear so that you react against your pastor, your brother. Come on, somebody. God hasn't given us a come on. We've got to be rooted and grounded in the love of God for God and his people, for his church, his body. God, I want to be together. I want to be unified. I want to fight for this. Because at the end of the day, I don't think there's a single person in this room that wants anybody to go to hell. And the things we get mad and get upset about, really? When you start thinking about eternity, come on, somebody. We've got to have the love of God in our hearts with eternity in our minds. Hey, I want you to make it. Come on. We're going to make it. We're going to endure. Come on. I know you may have offended me, but I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. We're going to be unified together. I love this. The Lord showed me that there's a great New Testament example of two brothers that you see that are fighting for unity. And go with me to John chapter 4, John chapter 20, verse 4. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to read it from the ESV version. This is John talking about, watch this. He's talking about him and Peter, but he says both of them were running. Everybody say together. Together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John had to sneak that one in there. He had to throw that in there, you know. Peter and I, we were on our way to see the tomb. We were on our way to the resurrection. But just so you know, I outran Peter. I'm faster than Peter. I'm better than Peter. I got a little edge on Peter. John had to sneak that one in there. You can see that there's some tension, I believe, going on with Peter and John in their walk with God. How many of you know that the disciples oftentimes argued who is the greatest? Jesus had to teach them how to continue to function and flow in unity together. He had to continue. Come on, if you're battling those types of attitudes, hey, you're human. But the Bible gives us a blueprint on how we cannot allow the carnal nature or the demonic influence of this culture defeat us from being connected and unified together. That's why we've got to prefer our brother over our own selves. Preferring. John sneaks this in there. And then you look at John 21 and verse 19 and 22. Look at John 21. It'll be on the screen in the ESV. I want you to watch this. Then he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Peter, this is Peter walking with Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back against him during supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Look at verse 22. And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me, Peter. So let me give some context of what's going on here. Jesus just restores Peter's life after Peter denies him three times. And Peter's now having a moment with Jesus. And he's walking with Jesus. And Jesus is speaking into his life. And he's restoring his life. And he's bringing healing in his life. And then Peter looks back. And John's just trailing behind. And I think Peter's a little bit irritated. He's a little bit annoyed. He's a little bit like, Jesus, what about this man? What about him? And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, stop getting focused on what everybody else is doing. If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? He said, you follow me, Peter. Because one of the greatest deceptive traps of the enemy is when we start comparing ourselves among ourselves and we start criticizing one another, thinking that we're better than, less than. Come on, the devil is a liar. We've got to be together. Come on, I'm not trying to compete against you. We are together as the body of Christ. Come on, young ministers, don't you ever let that get in your spirit where you're trying to compete against your brother. Come on, you've got to prefer each other. You've got to support each other and lift each other up as the Bible tells us to do so. Lord, what about him, Peter? So we see this. John's trying to outrun Peter to the tomb. Now Peter's getting annoyed with John because John's trying to get involved in his relationship with God. And there's this competitive tension that seems to be going on in their lives. Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, what's that to you? He says, if he remains until I return, he said, you just come follow me. And here's what Jesus meant. That we've got to focus on the calling that God's put on our lives, but we also need to channel that calling through a collective unity together. Peter was worried about John's future, and Jesus redirected him. Your responsibility is your relationship with God. Stop focusing on everybody else's mission. Stop focusing on what everybody else has. Stop focusing on what you have they don't have. Come on, we're not better than, less than. Come on, we're the body. There's only one head, and his name is Jesus. And we've got to function together in unity. Jesus begins to remind Peter that timing and purpose for each person depends. It varies, but Jesus is teaching us that instead of comparing, we've got to stay faithful to the calling that God has put on our lives. Jesus emphasizes obedience and discipleship over curiosity and comparison. Obedience and discipleship. Come on, that's what we've got to be. We've got to be obedient disciples at the end of the day. The greatest identity. The Lord spoke to me a long time ago and said that the greatest identity that you can possess is worshiper. Or son and daughter of God for the ladies out there. Come on, it's not evangelist. It's not pastor, teacher, worship leader, Bibles. Those are great roles that God uses you in his body. But at the end of the day, we are called to be worshipers. You're a son and a daughter of God. Don't let your identity of your gifting get ahead of who you are in sonship or... Because we can get all out of whack. Jesus is teaching a really powerful principle. Worrying about others' journey can distract us from our own calling. God calls each person individually, but he calls us to work in tandem together collectively as his body. And your focus should be on following him faithfully and loving others through the process. And they understood something changed, I believe, in the heart of Peter and John by the time you get to Acts chapter 3. Yeah, because you see this battle and you see this tension that's going on between them. But something happened by the time the Holy Ghost was poured out and the church began to form and they're in prayer together. Something is happening in the heart of Peter and John. And Acts chapter 3 says, and Peter and John went to the temple. Everybody say, together. Together. It's no longer Peter's frustrated with John and John's trying to outrun Peter. This time they are going to go together. They've got a revelation that, hey, I'm not trying to compete against you. We've got to go hand in hand, arm in arm. Come on, brother, I need you. I'm not trying to outrun you. Come on, let's go together. Let's go together. Come on, somebody. They got a hold of it.
It's a dangerous thing when we fall into the comparison trap or we fall into the criticism trap. But when we get the revelation, hey, we're going to go to prayer together. We're going to worship together. This church is going forward together. And you know, they're not seeking after callings. They're not seeking after giftings. They're not seeking after, you know what they're seeking after? Amen. Jesus. Because they went together to where? Everybody say prayer. Prayer. They were on their way to love God. They were on their way to love God. You know, the Bible says to pursue love and desire spiritual giftings. The Bible never tells us to pursue spiritual giftings. I desire to be used in the gifts, but that's not my pursuit. My pursuit is to love God and to love people. And as a result of loving God and loving people, hey, come on, the gifts can start operating and flowing organically. When you put the cart before the horse, it becomes dangerous. But when we come together in love, God allows the giftings to start flowing. So why? That people can be edified. That flesh would not get the glory. That Jesus Christ would be used through you to love other people and edify and lift them up. And that's exactly, they had no idea that day that God was going to use them the way that God used them. Because what are they doing? They're just going together to pray, to love God. Let's go, my brother. Let's go love God together. And as a result of that, guess what happens? There's a lame man that's at the gate. And he's begging for alms. And Peter looks on him. And Peter and John are together. And he begins to prophesy to him. Look at us. That man had been there for 40 years. And he looks up at him. Peter gets him out of a lame position. He puts him in a faith position. And he begins to talk to him. He says, silver and gold, I have none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The gifts were activated when the people began to flow together in unity and love. Come on, if we get this in our spirit, it's going to change how we approach prayer. It's going to change how we see our brother, our sister, our pastor. Come on, somebody. When we do it together out of love, the gifts are going to start flowing organically. And he gets up and he prophesies and he is healed. And what did he do? He went into the temple and he started jumping, leaping, and praising God. And it sparked a whole, it sparked everyone's eyes were just open to see, wow, what in the world has just taken place? Because two people decided to unify together. Because they decided to go together. That's the power of unity. And you could see the enemy fighting them for so long. But when they got a hold of it together, it was powerful. Because out of that one miracle, you know what took place? A 5,000 soul harvest. One miracle. Because two people were walking in agreement. Not comparison, not criticism, but agreement in prayer. Oh, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, when you start walking with a love, a fresh revelation of the love of God and the love for people, those criticizing scales are going to fall off of your eyes and you're going to begin to see again with love, with mercy, with compassion. Come on, Jesus was moved by compassion. If I want the gifts to be operating in my life, I want it to come out of a place of compassion. I just believe in this last day that we're going to see some mighty things happening in this church. God is raising up young men and young women to be used of God for such a time as this. It is a template that we're seeing all across the world today.
There has been a shift in our world. We're seeing this with Gen Zers. 2/3 of all U.S. adults now say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus that is still important in their life today. Watch this, marking a 12% increase in the last 4 years. Barna researchers say this may be the clearest indication of a meaningful spiritual renewal in the United States. In similar news, new data from the Bible Society in the UK reported 2 million more people in Great Britain attended church in 2024 than 2018. I've been talking about this all over. Here's an especially encouraging fact. You ready? Young adults in both countries are fueling the increase. Perhaps this is part of all the wokeism and everything else. I'm going to tell you, the enemy's tried to make a generation woke, but God is awakening a generation. This woke agenda has completely backfired on the enemy. There's a generation that's rising up. And if we do it together, we're going to see a great and mighty harvest. There's young ministers. There's young preachers and evangelists that are going to come out of this church. But we've got to do it together. I cannot do it without being connected to God. My pastor, my brothers, my sisters, the body of Christ, we are going to see the harvest in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, stand to your feet. I'm coming to a close. Come on, would you give God some praise right now? Hallelujah. Come on, let's just let praise come up out of our spirit. Come on, young man. Come on, young woman. Come on, begin to talk to the Lord right there. If two of you would touch an agreement, you can ask anything and it shall be done. What would have happened that day if Peter and John were trying to compete against each other? Who would have missed out on salvation? 5,000 people if they were trying to compete against each other. No. That's why the Bible says we can't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but soberly, preferring others, seeing others through a lens of grace and love and mercy, brothers and sisters, looking at the giftings in your brothers and lifting them up and encouraging them and loving them. That's the attitude that this church, because I believe that there are great giftings and great callings in this church. But if we are not careful, those things can be the very thing that hinder the fullness of what God does. But it also can be the very thing that projects the greatest revival and harvest this region has ever seen. But it's got to come from the right spirit. It's got to come from the right heart. It's got to come from the right motive. And if we do that, I'm telling you, there is a hungry world out there right now. And God is using Gen Zers. God is using the elders. God is using whosoever will. This is not the time to get involved with isms and schisms and he said and she said and criticism and comparison. No. There's a harvest out there. There's students gathering together on college campuses that are hungry for God, calling out to God, praying. I mean, we're seeing people get the Holy Ghost. I'll tell a little bit of my testimony. We just went to, I've been in a search this year. I've been telling the Lord, Lord, I'm not satisfied with just playing church. I don't want to just come to church. Lord, I want to see the book of Acts. I want to see the book of Acts. I want to see these things. Peter and John going to the temple. How many of you know that the miracle didn't happen inside the temple? It happened out there. Because what God is going to do in this last day, it's going to be so much greater than what we can comprehend with a building mindset. That's why we've got to be on mission and we've got to flow. I said, God, wherever you want to lead us, wherever you want to take us, wherever we've got to go. God sent us to Minnesota in August. We were there for a month. We were taking care of a church while the pastor and pastor's wife were on a sabbatical. And so they set us up in an Airbnb. And mind you, we've been praying this prayer. Lord, we want to see the book of Acts.
When I read the miracles, when I read how churches came about and how the church was on a mission and God was just using, because I believe this is the mentality that we've got to have if we're going to reap the harvest that God wants us to reap. Because people are gathering and there's a hungry world out there. We go to this Airbnb and it's someone's house. We're staying downstairs in their basement. And so they just found it on the Airbnb website. They just booked us to go there. So we go and we're staying downstairs in their basement. We can hear them upstairs walking around and moving around. And every night Kayla plays an instrumental for Azalea to fall asleep. It's called Yeshua Instrumental, the song Yeshua. And I'd sing it, but you guys would probably take off running if I started singing. That's why God gave me Kayla. She's a beautiful singer. I sing from the heart. Glory to God. But the instrumental is going. And a few days later, the owners of the Airbnb, we run into them outside in the driveway. Jenda. The guy's name's Bob. The lady's name's Jenda. Jenda's from Thailand. She's full Thai. She goes, I feel the Holy Spirit since you come. It's like, she said, yeah. She said, we were praying and fasting for our marriage. We've been praying and fasting for God to send someone. She said, the day we started to fast, the day you show up to our house. She said, will you give word here? Give it right here. We're here. I said, yeah, sure. Within a couple weeks' time, this lady starts texting all of her friends. The Lord spoke to me and said she has an apostolic ministry. And she starts gathering all of her friends from Southeast Asia. There's Cambodians there, Thai, from Laos, from Vietnam. And we gather into this garage and they start clearing out. There's rakes and all kinds of stuff hanging up. Kayla's got this little piano. We bring this little piano in. They start bringing food. We're connecting in fellowship. I'm just standing back watching them come. This is on a Saturday. And they're all bringing food in this garage. I can just sense so much hunger in the atmosphere. And Kayla begins, can you put that picture of that group of all them up on the screen? There's one of them like as a group up there. There's some of them that you can see in the garage. That's just a little snippet. You can't even see the fullness. They're lifting their hands. They're praising. They brought people that were Buddhist. They brought people that were atheists, that didn't believe in God. Kayla gets on the keyboard right there in that garage. She just starts testifying. Mind you, we didn't invite them to church. We didn't set anything up. We did nothing but just be sent by the Holy Ghost and allow the Lord to use us the way He wanted to use us. Kayla starts playing on the keys and the Spirit of God begins to flow into that little garage. I get up and start prophesying and testifying about the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the name. I didn't even finish preaching. Next thing you know, they start forming a line in that garage. Can you put the next picture up? This lady, there's that line. You can't even see it. I mean, it was wrapping back behind. You can see people back in there. They are lining up to be prayed for because they are so hungry for God. I can't even express to you the hunger level that was in that garage. It was powerful. It was powerful. Go to the next picture, sis, if you can. There was multiple. This lady came up and God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. There's another picture of another lady that came up. If you go to the next picture, this lady, God brought a deliverance to her life. She literally, when she started praying, she fell out in the Spirit. She's praying and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Sis, would you go to another picture right there? This lady came up with a knee pain. We prayed for her knee. She started jumping and dancing and running around the garage when God healed her of her knee. Come on, multiple got filled with the Holy Ghost. They brought up a lady she was Buddhist. They brought her up. They go, she's not a believer. She's not a believer. And she's a little bit, I'm like, okay. And she's standing there, and I begin to talk to her about the name of Jesus, and tears start streaming down her face, and she begins right there to confess. She said, I feel the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We've been doing Bible studies with them via Zoom, and they've been connecting with us. And we just did one on Thursday with them. We're going back. They're going to have another revival service. There were testimonies that they're talking about, multiple. Kayla, my wife, can attest. They're telling testimonies of things that God did out of a result of that service. I'm going to tell you, this happened so organically that I believe in this last day we are going to see miraculous things take place. But we've got to be on mission as the church of the living God. And we've got to be sensitive. Come on, young adults. God's going to use you for such a time as this. If you ever tap into the fullness. Come on, we don't have time to bicker and fight and argue. We've got to be together as the body because there's a harvest out there. Peter and John, get together. Because if you start getting together, you're going to reap the harvest. And it's going to happen. Come on, I feel a spirit of prayer coming into this place. Some of you need to find a place at this altar. Come on, find a place at this altar. Come on, I'm not going to compete anymore. I'm not going to criticize anymore. The harvest is too great. The laborers are few. Come on, laborers, we've got to get right. We've got to get in alignment. We've got to get right, laborers.